All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's Tuesday. Everybody's present and accounted for. We've already taken attendance, so we might as well get into the curriculum. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5, where we will take you from now until 4 o'clock and hopefully entertain you along the way. What's up, fellas?
What up, man?
What to do?
How are you? All good in the neighborhood, you guys?
I can't complain. I'm actually in a good mood.
What?
I know. I went to bed early last night. I woke up this morning. I did a little bit of my taxes, and then I took a nap.
Okay.
And, so I'm kind of refreshed and ready to go.
Can't do naps. Not a nap guy.
I'm not a big nap guy.
Really?
Yeah, it just makes me feel more tired.
As you get older, naps become easier.
Okay.
I was never a nap guy.
Okay.
Never. And then once you start getting one here in a week, you'll start to adjust and you'll become a nap guy.
I do find it weird that you only finished a portion of your taxes and not just get it all done at once.
Yeah, but you gotta understand what he's got to do.
Mine's not
the
simple.
Farm?
Yeah, mine's not simple. I've got to itemize every cow, duck, chicken. Yeah, it's, and then I've got, you know, all the stuff. I got a shoes for the horses. That was a write off. Hey, so yeah, there's a lot going on at the farm.
No doubt about it.
Have you done yours yet? Your
I
taxes?
Have not, oh, not yet,
you're, no. You use CPA route or do you do it yourself?
We're debating.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I wanted to knock it out. I got a courtesy email from a online tax software company. And they were like, our prices go up at the end of the month. And I was like, wow, thanks. Now you're just rubbing it in.
Really?
There's no way I'm going to finish by
no
the end
idea.
Of the month, jerks.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Lucky you that you only have cats. Because I was going to say, naps and sleep, that's crazy. Because, like, Lisa thinks I'm kidding, but I'm not.
I actually kick my cats out for a nap, though.
See, she'll wake me up intentionally 3 to 5 times in a night. And then she woke me up this morning. She was feeling... Look, she's already had walking pneumonia and been sick twice in
the
last month.
So, like a zombie? Like a... Is it like...
No, she... Babe. It just starts slapping me on the arm until I wake up. And I'm like... So, I fly up and go, what? What's going on? And she's like, I can't do it. I called in sick. My throat's killing me. I'm sick.
Well, what did you wake me up for?
Exactly. And I'm like, okay, so now you're going to fall right back asleep, and I'm sure NyQuil will have a little assistance. I'm going to sit here staring at the ceiling going, what the heck just happened there?
Listen, man, we're friends now. We've been doing this a while. We're friends. I don't think she likes you. I mean,
I'm sure there are days. I am absolutely positive there are days.
Look,
but she chuckled this morning when I go, you do realize you've upped your quota to probably 3 to 5 times a night you'll wake me up. And she goes, yeah.
What?
She laughed about it. That's awesome.
Like when the dogs have to go out,
you know who used
she'll
to do that?
Wake me out of a sound sleep to get me to get up to open the back door when she's already up.
You know who used to do that? My ex-wife.
Well, we ain't there and we ain't heading that route.
Oh, so. Man. Like. No, you can't wake me up in especially if you're going back to bed.
See, that's the thing.
You ever
I was
done that
the
to,
guy
here's what
where
you
if
do.
You wake me up, I can't. I used to not be able to go back to sleep.
Now
I realize there is no
it.
Choice, so you got to.
Yeah, here's what you do. Now, she goes to bed at what time?
8 o'clock.
Okay. About 10:30. Watch the Rocket game. Get it all done. About 10:30, 11 o'clock, she should be in prime, like REM sleep. Mm-hmm. Like she's just go in there real quiet, get next to the bed and go, babe, wake up and go to sleep. And then just walk out.
There's no way Joel's doing that.
No way. You know why? Because then the next day, do you know how many times I'm going to have to hear, so tired.
I'm tired.
God, I have no, I'm just, it's killing me.
Dude, I wouldn't do it either.
The wake up and go to sleep is so infuriating. I don't even remember where I saw that. That's the most, what do you mean wake up and go to sleep, jerk? That's the stupidest thing ever. And then you just walk off. You just
can't
just
do it. Won't do it.
Mic drop it on her right there.
We got enough that, and then Taylor, with a mind of her own, now just realizes if she stands up and says, and starts yelling mom or dad, that
mom is going to give in about 2 seconds and say, oh, come to bed with us. And then I get about 1/100th of a sliver of the mattress while Taylor's spread out cutting logs.
Totally. I did learn something last night, though. I was actually this morning, too. But I'm seeing on my timeline, and specifically Twitter and Facebook, it's just babble at this point. This gun control thing won't go away. It was kind of like in the election.
I was just going to say it. Yep.
When you just, I had to block the words like Trump and elections and Clinton and Hillary. And then that way I never saw tweets about that stuff. So I'm having to do that with gun control because people are idiots. No one cares about having a dialogue. No one wants to talk about, well, here's a point. What's your counterpoint? And maybe we could come up with a compromise. People just want to go out there and say whatever foolish noise they think of and expect everyone to just eat it up and then argue with people that don't. So I'm tired of seeing it. So what I started doing is when I open my Facebook, anybody that's just talking about gun control, I unfollow them. Now, I don't unfriend them because there's a difference. So on Facebook, when you friend someone, you friend them and you're following their posts. So I'll just unfollow their posts, but we're still friends, so they don't know that I'm not seeing their garbage posts anymore. It's kind of like on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. Dr. Dre on 290.
Oh.
Gets pretty annoying on Twitter. Now, I don't follow him, but he'll, you know, tag me. So I've muted him as of this morning.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So now.
So it's over.
I don't have to see his tweets, which is.
So you're not divorced, but you're separated.
That leads me to what we were talking about, which is these Rocket bots.
Yep.
And NBA bots that tweet at us after every Rockets game. What you can do is you can block keywords and block hashtags. And usually when they tweet at you, they use specific hashtags and specific keywords. And if you will add that to your mute list, you won't see those tweets anymore. That's why I don't get them.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. So I don't want to like mute the word Rockets because I get plenty of intellectual people commenting and talking about the Rockets.
I'm not going to say on air which ones to look out for, but it's not the word Rockets.
Okay.
But there are things that you can, there are keywords that they use in every post.
Like hashtag run as one.
No.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to say what it is because if like, you know, the marketing department for the Rockets or the NBA happens to listen, then they go, oh, well, we just need to change this word or these keywords.
Got it.
And then find us again.
This is a Daryl Morey thing. This is organizational thing.
So you've been there. You know what's going on.
Oh, you know how many times I get inundated with them because I'll call them out and say, hey, give Daryl my best.
I used to cuss at
tell them. The interns that we needed to turn the page from us. We have to watch the game.
I used to be really mean. Like, I would curse at them, and then I thought, all right, maybe that's a little much. But then it's just a bot. It's not like there's an intern sitting there. It's just automated. I guarantee you it's automated.
I understand
that. I would
that.
Be willing to bet you
majority,
that it's automated.
But let me just tell you, from the other side of things, there are interns.
Oh, sure.
And they are doing this, too.
Well, it's... Oh, really?
And they are monitoring every written word that uses the keyword Rockets.
Oh, so right now, if I just put, the Rockets interns are a bunch of stupid idiots, they'll see it?
It's a good chance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's either going to be in the hard copy that's delivered daily, or it's going to be in the electronic version. Yeah.
There's a hard copy?
Oh, man.
Ooh.
And it depends on, like... And again, from the standpoint of who... Some people want, like... Jeff Van Gundy wanted everything written about his team.
Really?
So every day you want to talk about the waste of paper. But there are coaches that care about that, so, and general managers and other people that care about it so much they want to know everything that's being said about their team anywhere. Not just like in the lower 48. Anywhere.
That seems awfully petty.
Oh my God. Tell me. Boom. Thank you. That could be a keyword.
That would be like us like Googling. Like, do you ever Google yourself? On occasion, I will type my name in just to see what. But it's how I found out that people are out there Googling Barry Laminack's wife. I was like, what? So I guarantee you, with you especially, with Lisa being a public figure, they're definitely doing that for you. But yeah, about once every 6 to 8 months, I'll Google myself. And the reason is because when in the comedy world, I'm sure when a booker wants to know, like, if I reach out to them, email them, and, hey, I'd like to work your club, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to Google my name. So I need to make sure whatever's out there. But I haven't found anything real weird yet. I haven't found any. There is another Barry Laminack.
I got to get to work then.
There is another Barry Laminack, and he looks creepy. He looks really
creepy.
So
you guys got something in common right off the top?
All right. You know, I just Well, set but here's you up the thing.
You mentioned that and it's because you're just getting more gigs. People don't realize how important it is when you're looking for a job to do that.
Yeah. A buddy of mine, Derek Jonkins, owns a training facility in the wilderness. In fact, he's opening a new one. We should have him on one day, maybe for the weight loss challenge to talk weight loss. But he talks all the time to young kids, high school kids, about, man, if you want to get recruited,
no doubt,
first thing they look at is your social media presence.
Not just from an athletic standpoint. Colleges recruit students. Yeah. Jobs do it.
Yeah, there's some stuff I've had to go and remove.
When Keenan McCardell,
that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I probably got to delete a few.
Yeah,
tweets,
like
man.
like a certain tweet about your friends and coworkers,
camels and
orally pleasuring a camel. Yeah. Maybe,
but I think that's going to be harder to locate on Twitter though, right? Because they probably go to Facebook first.
No,
I'm just trying
Google.
To make myself feel better about this.
Yeah, no,
it's not going to work.
You're totally.
Keenan
screwed.
Told me when he was at Maryland, and they were recruiting, and even when they're in the NFL and they're bringing a potential draft pick in, or they're looking at drafting a guy, they're going to that stuff. There are people that are charged with, as part of their job, to go and scan all this and break it on down. Because you don't want to sign a kid and give him a scholarship or get ready to give him millions of dollars in the NFL and then realize after the fact, oh, by the way, he was abusing women. He was doing this. He was doing that.
Or just immature. You can tell.
Posting videos. Yeah.
Just smoking weed. You can see all of that.
Well, remember it was, what was it? Was the LSU offensive lineman that posted the bong on draft day? They found it.
Yeah,
he started sliding.
Well,
it
got
Lael Collins, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. What it was, but yeah, he didn't. The video wasn't taken during the draft. It was just published.
It was a while back, but people got a hold of it.
Exactly.
And then it was on draft day. Exactly. And all of a sudden, his stock plummeted and he went way down.
I'm going to Google you right now, Joel.
I don't need you Googling.
Joel Blank. See, look. First thing that comes up. Joel Blank wife was the first.
How do we know it's not because you're not Googling people's wives?
When I type in Joel Blank, Google gives you a list of suggestions. There's Joel Blank wife, Joel Blank ESPN, Joel Blank Rockets, Joel Blank Twitter, Joel Blank Houston Rockets, Joel Blank IP Attaché.
Is that?
I guess that goes back to one of our first
shows.
That's
right. When we were talking about, that's right.
Joel Blank Architect. So there's an architect named Joel Blank, apparently.
All right.
Joel Blank by itself. Joel Blank Houston. And the last one, Joel Blank and Lisa Hernandez. Those are the suggestions that Google has.
Hey, it's Joel, the guy that was
the architect.
The architect that was made by his wife. We got a whole show.
You think they Google Lisa Hernandez's husband?
I know there are people that do. No, I know. But I know there are people that Google me for my wife. There's no doubt about it. I've told you that. I had to do a road trip to that Packer-Cowboy game with one that made it completely uncomfortable.
You want to hear Lisa Hernandez? Lisa Hernandez? Lisa Hernandez married. That's the difference between, like, you can tell it's all dudes. They want to see your wife and know if she's married if they just see her on the news. Guys are so creepy.
That's the story of my life.
Oh, look, you're on here. You made it, Joel. Lisa Hernandez, Lisa Harold. No, I don't know why that's number two. Lisa Hernandez married, Lisa Hernandez Instagram, Lisa Hernandez husband. You made it.
Top five. I have arrived, guys.
Top five.
I have arrived. Let's not talk.
Good for
top
you.
Top five. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We are the usual suspects because of you. We want you to participate. Give us a call, 713-780-3776. You can also text that number. That's our HR&P listener line. That's open all the time for you. And, of course, you can reach us on Twitter where it's at @ThePronicerNick, at @PacManJoel with a K, and at @BarryIsFunny. Just getting started. Don't go anywhere. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday, as we are just getting rolling. Anything else come to mind on your boys' platter last night into this morning that makes sense for talking about today?
I mean, the Rockets?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
How about that?
What?
Well, I watched them.
Okay, I did.
Nick, you watch them?
I did not.
Okay.
I just watched the highlights.
Yeah. It's probably a better move on your part, because it was tough to watch at times.
Talk about the tale of two halves.
Well, two teams too, because you got one of the top teams offensively in the league, and you have one of the top, one of if not the top defensive team in the league for defensive efficiency. But it was a struggle for a team that leads the NBA in first quarter scoring to score what, like 19 points in the first quarter. I was like, oh boy.
Pretty ugly.
I didn't get into a Jazz game. I just don't like that team.
I don't like that environment.
I'll tune into the Clippers game on Thursday because there's, you know, a bit of a rivalry
tomorrow
there.
It's tomorrow night.
Huh?
It's tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow night. Yeah, my bad, yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm with you. But having been in that arena, it's kind of like with this Patty Mills situation with fans yelling and the hockey player at the Blackhawk game last week where they were yelling the... I'm going to tell you something. Everybody says how pure and clean and squeaky Mormons are and BYU and all that other stuff. You want to talk about the equivalent of the black hole for Raiders fans in the NFL, in the NBA? Go to a game in Salt Lake City. Those fans are vile. They are rude. They will say anything. People don't realize this. Before there was social media, one night we couldn't find Charles Barkley. We all remember that Vernon Maxwell went into the stands in Portland. We're in Utah. I don't even know if we were winning or not, but it was late in the game and no one could find Charles. He was 15 rows deep going up behind our bench to go have a personal conversation with a guy that he had had enough of what he was saying and the tone and the language.
They have a horrible reputation for being horrible people when
it comes
to the
fans. I just love to see the response though, because like they'll heckle him. And then, like, and they're so brave at that point when Charles Barkley is 20 rows away from you and on the court. And then now you got an actual 200-pound man coming at you. You completely change. I mean, you completely change the way you look.
Yeah, I was worried about this team in the first half because it looked like Rudy Gobert was going to take the game over, dominate. Especially when you got a 6'9" Tart Black trying to defend
out.
Him. You had Nene playing, but he didn't start, which I thought was weird too. Why not just go ahead and start him unless you want him to be in his role of coming off the bench? That's the only thing I could think of. But the starting lineup for the Rockets last night was Tart Black, Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, Chris Paul, James Harden. Wright, Anderson, Capella, and Gordon all did not play for one reason or another. Wright was the sore right knee. Anderson, groin, and Capella and Gordon had an illness, according to ESPN. So they all sat out. So you didn't have a low post presence really starting the game like Capella normally would. And that's when I thought, ooh, boy, they really missed Capella early on. The offense missed Capella, I think, because you know they didn't have that option of the pick and roll. I mean, Tart Black isn't running the pick and roll well. They looked stagnant. I mean, they scored 39 points in the first half. It was an ugly offense.
Yeah.
And it makes you really appreciate what Capella does, not just from a pick and roll perspective and defense and rebounding and a low post presence for blocking shots, but it feels like he runs that offense better. Now, the second half was much different, but I found it interesting that you also, in the second half, James Harden was guarding Rudy Gobert.
He was.
And I was like, what? That tells you something about this team when they don't have Capella.
So here's the thing. I agree with you. And the main thing is, Tark, you know what Tark Black's running well? The layup line during warmups. Other than that, he ain't running anything well. He just does not belong, right? He's a nice guy. I'm sure he's a heck of a locker room presence, but he just doesn't, it's not clicking, and I don't think D'Antoni will trust him. The other thing is Brandon Wright, after one game, suddenly has a sore knee and doesn't play. That concerns me because you were brought in as insurance to make up for injuries that could happen to guys like Nene, who already looks like he should be sitting in a rocking chair. Mm-hmm. And one minute, Nene is getting a weak side power dunk, and the next minute, it's like he blows a layup. And you're going, what's that? And then you're right. And then I see Gobert, and I'm like, oh my goodness, look out, because now you've got, you know, whatever nickname you want to call him, the French rejection or, you know, the stifled tower. You know, this dude, he's not like 300 pounds, but he gets it done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it could be a long, long night. And I thought the Jazz went away from, they settled for too many outside shots from Inglis and from Donovan Mitchell, when they should have gone inside and taken advantage of that matchup. Because even if Harden, who does not get enough credit for being very, very strong lower half-wise to hold his own in the low post. He's guarded Blake Griffin before.
Yeah.
But just the pure size difference with the reach, Gobert could have gotten whatever he wanted with turnarounds and hook shots.
I mean, look what happened.
Like
there was a couple of instances late in the game when Chris Paul ended up on Rudy Gobert, and it wasn't even close. He did whatever he wanted. He jammed it home. But when you have James Harden down there, for some reason, he does an okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say he's a great low post
defender.
Short
doses, he'll get
exactly.
You through.
If there's a switch, if he gets caught in a switch with a big man, you don't feel like, oh, well, that's an easy two. It's not, they're not yelling mouse in the house. That's not a sure 2 points. More often than not, he's going to give it up, but at least he's got quick hands and he might swipe the ball away or something like that. I found that interesting. I also felt like the Jazz got away from their perimeter defense that they ran in the first half, because it was, you could tell that the Rockets' offense wasn't clicking. It wasn't the normal offense you're used to seeing. And I thought the Jazz played really good perimeter defense. They were switching well. And it looked like they got away from that a little bit. And like you said, they just started shooting ill-advised shots, which really affected the entire game in the second half.
I think Craig and Bull didn't do they did a good job, but they could have done a great job. That's a back-to-back that should never happen in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Denver and Utah are the two toughest cities to get into. And the fact that you go from 1 mile-high altitude to another really tough city to get to.
On a back-to-back
with more altitude, with all the different things that are in play there, that should just never happen.
Because it takes, what, like a week to 2 weeks to get adjusted to the altitude?
At least.
Because I think I told the story on here when I went and ran Junior Olympics in Utah. I was in Provo, Utah. And we went out. My dad was like, well, you're going to be running on altitude, so we need to get up there early and get adjusted. Well, we obviously didn't go up there early enough because I fainted as I crossed the finish line.
Wow.
And
it's serious.
And it was, but I think we spent 3 days. I just remember waking up under the bleachers because I don't remember crossing the finish line.
Wow.
But I woke up under the bleachers with my dad hovering over me. And I looked at him. I was like, what happened? He goes, you fainted. I said, did I win? He was like, no. You got beat by a guy from Colorado, Utah, Alaska. Basically, all the high elevation states. I beat everybody that was from a sea level city. But I didn't beat not a single person from a high elevation.
Anybody know where the Olympic training facility is?
It's got to be, what, Denver, Provo, somewhere in there?
It's in Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me one bit.
No,
you see MMA fighters go about 2 weeks early, but I think some fighters are more sensitive and they'll go like a full month.
Pretty sure it's Colorado Springs, but yeah, look, the altitude is no joke as it is, but to have them play back-to-back games when you were given the Jazz, who deserve credit, they're a good defensive team, one of the best, but their perimeter defense was helped out by the fact that these guys, you could tell, were sluggish because they're playing two games back-to-back in cities with altitude and issues with airports and everything else. That's a game that we talked about yesterday that they lose.
I was going to say, do you feel like the Rockets kind of stole one last night?
I do. Okay. I really, really do. With the injuries on top of it. When I looked at it before the game started, I go, I don't know if I'm even going to watch this because I think the Rockets are really going to struggle between the altitude, the back-to-back, and these guys out, and with Gobert, and they have Favors. They have some guys that can play. I thought, man, they could get pasted here. And early on, they were down 15. But give them credit.
And he didn't lead the team in scoring, but Luka Mbamute played his ass off.
Here's the thing. I was going to say that because how many times now have we, as a threesome on this show, brought up the fact that from a game-to-game basis during this streak, we're not talking about Chris Paul. We're not talking about James Harden. Every different game, we're like, whoa, Ryan Anderson woke up. He had a day. Whoa, P.J. Tucker did this. Whoa, last night, Luka Mbamute was huge for this team. That's why it's so special what they're doing in the regular season. That's why they're not getting enough credit for having two winning streaks of this length with the amount of injuries and things that they've endured. So we can continue to talk about it, but I think you got to give a little bit more to your Rockets these days because they're playing great basketball, and that was a good one that they stole last night. We'll get to more Rockets if you want to talk about that. We've got plenty more on our agenda, but if you want to get something on the list, 713-780-3776 is our HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter where we check everything throughout the show. Back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the Usual Suspects, half hour deep in the 3 hour extravaganza. We like to call our show because if you're here and we're here, then we do this thing together. We were talking a little Rockets before the break.
So somebody's upset with me real quick. And I'm going to catch up on text. Any thoughts on the Z-Dog diss on the Rockets? I saw it. I know they covered it on the bench and it was like a bit they did. And I don't want to trample on them and the bit that they had. But yeah, it's a funny video. If you haven't seen it, some Utah Jazz fan wrote a rap about the Rockets and it's terrible.
He does it all the time.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. He's
It's horrible.
And other shows have like
beat it to death.
Beat it to death. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Tried to get the guy on and he's not all there. So you just I don't think he is.
Okay.
Well, obviously with some of the lyrics and some of the songs.
Some people are just bad at hip hop and rap, so that might be it too.
Well, don't sell him short. He's definitely that too. But I mean.
Yeah. So I said for prospective players of all ages, because we were talking about social media with kids, is it good to have zero social media presence or is some needed? I mean, that's what we can get somebody on the show to discuss it. I don't think you have to have a social media presence. In fact, I think if a team, I would venture a guess that if a recruiter Googled a kid's name and didn't find a social media presence, then they're like, oh, well, that's great. There's no risk of them doing something stupid. Because with kids and social media, they're going to do something stupid.
I know this is crazy, but I would disagree.
What?
But I would disagree only from the standpoint of, I would say it would be better off that they find someone that does do social media, maybe on a limited basis, or knows how to be professional or above board in the way they handle it. Even
so
if they do
you're expecting a high school kid to have someone run their social media?
No, not run it for them, but the way they handle it is they don't say too much, they don't say outlandish things, but yet they are interactive with people because they're still going to want, you know, to have a following for these kids and get them to kind of so that they follow the program. But I think otherwise it's more of a mystery because that mystery of the unknown can screw with you. Like, here we got this kid.
I mean, there's still going to be
questions
info
about him, but he's never been on social media. So we don't have what we could have if he.
I disagree, but I think we need to get somebody to
that's a good idea.
A recruiter.
It would be good to get some information from somebody.
Yeah, because I would. For me, it would make me feel better knowing they can't do anything stupid. But you have a point. You kind of want to see, well, what are they hiding?
Right.
Maybe. But
and like when before Keenan got the gag order working back in the NFL again and Doug Marrone doesn't want him talking to the media, when he would stop in and visit with us, it was great to get the perspective of, oh, yeah, we look at social media. Oh, yeah, we've got people that check this, check that. Because I don't think enough kids are naive. They don't understand how important that is. They're like, so what? It's just a tweet I made. Well, that tweet's going to live forever, and it could really hurt you.
Yep.
And I do want
to... Internet is forever.
No doubt. And because of that, I want to give Tracy and others credit for correcting, and they were absolutely right. Laramie Tunsil was the Ole Miss guy that had the bong, and Lyle Collins was the guy, and we figured this out during the break before we got the tweets, was the guy that was being investigated about his ex that was murdered right before the draft, and he was never charged. So we got that out of the way.
So a couple more texts. Barry, why don't you call out stupid people on Facebook for saying stupid things? I can't just let someone say something stupid without addressing it. That's from USA Mike. I don't have the time. There's so many stupid people.
And Facebook is different. It's different on Facebook.
Yeah. If I spent all my time trying to call out stupid people, I wouldn't have any time to do anything else. So I just start unfollowing them and remain friends with them. But and to that point, apparently Dr. Dre on 290 is a bit perturbed that I said I muted him. When in fact, I know I have it on good authority that he has himself admitted to trying to get under my skin and be annoying because he finds it humorous when he bothers you and me.
Really?
He finds it entertaining to annoy us. So my point is, if you're going to annoy people and they mute you, why are you getting upset? That was mission accomplished, right? Like, Dre, this is what you wanted. You wanted to get under our skin. So?
I mean, he would always, like I told you, like he would DM me and say, hey, just tell him I'm just all fun and you know.
Yeah, but
they get so mad or they're so sensitive or whatever.
Exactly.
That's what he would say.
That to me a couple times, but the thing is, if I was really sensitive, I would have blocked him a long time ago and just
been done with it.
I
don't
blame him. I would never do that because I appreciate it.
Tell Joel and Barry that I'm not serious. Jeez, they get a little sensitive. That was like a week or two ago.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is it's yeah. This is silly.
Everybody has hot buttons, but like again, we covered this.
Well, my thing is if you're just like, trying
if you're
to annoy
our
wife,
me,
I'm not going
like,
to
like when
oh yeah, that one caller Steelers fan Juan.
Steelers fan Juan wanted to go at Barry's wife. That's a no, bro. That's a no go.
That's
just,
a no go. The
off.
Dude who made a comment about Kevin McHale's daughter. Right. I'm not going to allow it. I'm sure you two will not allow it.
Absolutely right.
So yeah, and I mean, but my point is if you're trying, and this isn't just me. This is in general. If you're trying to annoy a Kardashian and you think it's funny to call him a whore and you're doing that over and over, when they block you, don't get mad.
Yeah.
Like that was your goal, right? So I'm just saying, like, if you're trying to annoy people, don't get mad when they get annoyed.
I get enough a-holes
just like,
that want to really get into it and ask for
you
it.
You do.
That
more I'll than me.
Well, yeah, because again, with my past experience with the Rockets, people think that I hate everything Rockets, and then they start taking personal
well, you do,
shots.
Right?
No, I don't. Oh. And you tried that yesterday, and that's not going to be. I'll never say that. And I still have friends on that team, and I really like their roster this year, and I'm a fan of the way they play basketball. There are two a-holes that I don't like, but you know what? If you want to get into it, I'll always get into that. But if you want to take personal shots at me and my family because of that, now you're going to have a problem. Now you're going to get blocked after I try and drill
Absolutely.
You into the ground. But Dre on 290, I would never block because of the fact that I know it's all good at the end of the day. Like, there's never been a personal animosity type moment.
Oh,
it's
no.
just flipping it back and forth.
Yeah. Somebody said, I don't want to bring up an old subject, but my wife got me a loofah this weekend. Game changer.
Yeah.
So much like the Diet Coke with whiskey. This person said that they got a loofah and it changed their entire way that they get clean.
Feel like it's necessary.
Okay. I'm going to leave that to you. Someone didn't like, is Trapped a song you played? Or a group? Is Trapped a group?
I played a instrumental from the Jay-Z 444 album that I never heard. Oh. But other than that, I recognize.
Because somebody said worst part of the show was the Trapped song intro. I don't know what that means.
Well, the song intro, that's...
That's the Black Sheep. That's not Trapped. The show intro?
Yeah, I think he said show intro.
You
isn't
guys will figure it.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah.
We got a caller on the social
get,
media.
Let's get Travis on social media. What's up, Travis?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
What's good, up, man?
So, I do scouting for a scouting agency here in Houston. I just wanted to weigh in on the social media presence issue that you guys have been talking about. So, coaches... people that have been hired to look into the backgrounds of players certainly look into social media, and they want to make sure that, you know, the topics that you're discussing, that you're retweeting, that you're replying to are not controversial topics. I mean, that's just the issue. It depends on the university. It depends on the coaches, the philosophy of the school, depends on all that kind of stuff. But the actual – because I heard someone mention that what if – the kid wasn't actively involved in any kind of social media, would that be a red flag in terms of, is he hiding anything? Most of the behavioral evaluation comes from the visits to the school. It comes from the coaches. It comes from the teachers of the players, because throughout 4 years at a high school, it's kind of hard to mask who you are, because the teachers are in class with these kids every day and the coaches are at practice with these kids every day. So, you know, most of these kids that end up having issues at college have given out red flags before.
So,
it's just
Travis,
a matter of risk versus reward.
So, Travis, I think the big question is, and I appreciate all of that info, but when you're looking, do you care if they don't have social media? Do you care?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. No, because we get that. The reason that we look at social media is to find out if they're going to be engaging in any activities or behaviors or topics that the school doesn't want to be involved in. And they look at a variety of things. You know, are you a person who just cares about getting retweets, or are you someone who posts on your own, or are you just sharing other people's ideas? Things like that. But that's not the evaluation in its own. That's only a small piece of information that you throw and with all the other, you know, discussions that you've had with coaches and teachers.
Good deal, man. Appreciate the call,
yeah, man.
Travis.
Thanks a lot, Travis. We appreciate that. That's why we love you guys, because you guys are always there with answers if we have questions, and sometimes you just correct me, which I get on a regular basis. That's fine, too. So we'll continue to roll on, and if you want to chime in,
I didn't
say anything. Easy, Dre. I'm just talking. I'm giving people props. That's what I'm doing. I'm all about love. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings today. Don't block me. We got more show to do.
You ever seen somebody cry so much they almost gag?
Yeah, my daughter.
They almost throw up. Does she do that?
Oh, my God.
I think baby, like, kids do that, though, normally, right?
No, not
adults, really.
Not to that level.
Yeah, I don't think that's normal.
Adults. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. She found out mom stayed home from work today and then she had to go to school, oh, good Lord, it was that and more. I thought she was going to throw up in my car because I made her go to school. I'm the bad guy. There you go. All right, we knew that. That's why you guys listen. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
From the slums of Shaolin, Wu-Tang Clan strikes again. The RZA, the Jizza, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspector Deck, they pour on the chef. You guard, Ghostface Killer, and the Method.
M-E-T-H-O-D, man. M-E-T-H-O-D.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. D-Deep, hour number one, three-hour show. Barry, Nick, Joel here with you till 4 as we kick it around. We kicked a little Rockets, kicked a little Twitter, kicked a little social media.
I do have a question for you about the Rockets before we move
Seven.
On.
Seven.
Bring it.
The Chris Paul situation. He high fives.
How about that?
James Harden's mom in the closing seconds of the game?
Yes.
That's considered out of bounds?
It is. Okay. So here's the thing. It's ref's discretion, okay? It's getting a lot of run today. But essentially, with less than 10 seconds to play, Chris Paul is running out the clock in a game that's already been decided. James Harden's mom is sitting at midcourt. She's geeked about the win. She's like, puts up the hand for the high five. Chris Paul high fives her. The minute they make contact, Mike Callahan, the official, calls it a turnover, said he's out of bounds, go the other way.
Did we pause it at the moment of the five to see if his hand was also on the ball? I would have demanded a replay. I would have demanded we go to New York.
You already making the signal?
Drag this game out. Make those fans have to suffer through 5 more minutes.
That's the
thing. They deserve it, bunch of a-holes.
Everybody says, oh, it's petty. You shouldn't have done that. But these guys, and they've been scrutinized so much, especially this year, that they always say that, you know, we don't show favoritism. We don't do things. We do everything by the book. Well, by the book, if anything, any part of you with the ball is touching anything. So in other words, if a guy's laying out of bounds and you're in bounds,
but
a part of you touches him, mm-hmm. you're out of bounds.
Yeah.
So in other words, the call that's always made is when the guy jumps up and he wants to throw the ball off of another guy so that they can get the possession. If that guy's already standing out of bounds at all and it hits him, you just threw the ball out of bounds. It's off you. So it is the proper call. It's just at that point in the game, doesn't everybody just want to go home? But they call it. And then Chris Paul, which I think the one thing that they're not mentioning, which is an issue, is Chris Paul's turnover ratio is very low. He gets a turnover for that.
Ooh. That could affect his bonus.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of like, I was like, what? What the hell just happened?
And I figured it was the rules, but it doesn't bother me that much. But, you know.
Seem kind of stupid with 8 seconds left.
Exactly. If I was the ref, I would have just let it go because I don't think the NBA would have gotten him in trouble if he did.
Now, it's a 2-point game. You do that. That's on you. You ain't doing that, right?
Exactly.
Right. In a 2-point game, you're getting fouled. Well,
if you're running out the clock in a 2-point game, the other team's out of timeouts or just is going to throw in the towel. But you do that, you got to call it at that point.
Yes, for sure. I'm with you, but. Yeah, you're right. They've got to call it because that's their job and they're supposed to be. It's just like when you see them dribbling out the clock. A lot of times those guys have to maintain their dribble. They can't just throw the ball or hand it to the ref with the second
referee
left.
Referee will get out of the way.
If you try to hand the ball to the ref with a second left, they're going to put their hands up so that they don't touch it. That's just, I don't know. They're there to follow the rules, and the rules are while there's time left on the clock. So
But I did, you're here to play the game.
I did find it weird, though, when it happened, because I was like, what? I wasn't really paying attention, so I thought, what the hell happened? And then they replayed it and showed him high-fiving. Now, did you see, there were some picks being laid in this game. Chris Paul collided with, what's his name?
Burks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it wasn't necessarily a pick, but there was just this group of folks. But then PJ Tucker, man, and my favorite part of the game was when Rudy Gobert and James Harden started going after each other. Harden's trying to bring the ball up. Gobert, for some reason, I don't know, maybe this was because of them kind of guarding each other down low, or I don't know what happened, but they weren't having it, and Gobert kind of threw an elbow out, and James didn't like it, and they ended up kind of scrapping a little bit. Gobert fell down. James Harden fell down. They both jumped up like they were going to fight. And in my mind, I'm thinking, Harden, you are, one, you're not fighting anybody. Two, you're not fighting a dude 7'1". He will punch you from the other free throw line. He's got the reach on you by about three people. No. Let your enforcers do that. You know, like Tucker when he just almost leveled one of the Jazz players.
I thought
players.
You went to bouncer at the strip club.
No.
No. I thought
that was kind of funny to see them going at it. But it was good to see the Rockets, because that's one thing this Rockets team isn't. They're not necessarily dirty, but I thought that the pick by Tucker that knocked the dude on his ass. I thought, okay, there's a little grit.
At least
I
the like guys it. Admitted to he leaned into it.
Yeah.
Because they were ready to come to his defense, and then they saw the replay and were like, and Bull and Craig were like, he leaned into that.
But I like that a little bit. That's why you got Tucker. It's also why you got Nene, but he doesn't do it necessarily. Although.
No, because he didn't want to get hurt.
Earlier in the year when that guy elbowed him on top of the head, when.
Yeah, what game was that when he got hit in the head? Was that the Orlando game?
It was Griffin, wasn't it? Was it Blake Griffin that elbowed him on top of the head?
No.
I think it was.
There was two consecutive plays where he got hit on the top of the dome, though.
No, I thought that was the game when Blake Griffin was elbowing people. Was it not? I don't know. But he kind of retaliated.
Because Harden was the other one that got it in the jaw.
Yep.
But, you know, the thing is with all of that, and you talk about it, the one that really baffled me was Chris Paul. Because he made a huge stink and almost got a technical. So you were assuming, and then he's grabbing his jaw like 50 different ways. And you're thinking, well, he must have gotten drilled with a cheap shot. Then you look at the replay and you're like, what's he bitching about?
Yeah, he just got
clean,
got
and it wasn't even a shoulder. And it was, and then he, then there, the Craig and Bull are saying, well, he's even saying, why are we even reviewing this? It wasn't dirty. Well, then why are you making a stink?
Yeah, he's, I like that. You could clearly hear him on the broadcast say, I didn't think it was intentional. I just said it was a foul. No.
And then he's explaining it to their bench, too. It's like, we just wasted 7 minutes of time over nothing, and you got a bucket out of it.
Right.
Oh, it was driving me crazy.
Somebody texted the show said, I have to say, guys, that your show was my second best show to listen to on 97.5.
Okay.
But y'all have moved up slightly, and you're now 1B. Great show, guys.
Perfect.
Well, thank you.
We don't even know who 1A is.
I'll
We're
take
all
1B.
Under the same roof.
1A has to be Glenn Davis in Soccer Matters.
Negative.
Oh, by the way, Glenn Davis doing a little remote today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over in the West U area. He's going to have some live guests. If you like Soccer Matters, then I'm telling you today is your day. Because with Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis is taking the show on the road. And so he's going to be doing it. And I got to get the right name for the place. It's something Gale. It's the gorgeous Gale in Rice Village. Yeah. So he's going to be there doing his show, Soccer Matters, tonight. So check it out. And he's going to have some great guests, soccer guests. But a good get if you stop in 7 to 9 p.m. Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside, West U.
There you go. What time does it start?
7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Houston Dash head coach is going to be there. He's going to get the Dynamo TV team. By the way, if you don't know who's on the Dynamo TV team, and oh, I know you're savvy listeners, so catch this tip. Check out Cindy Burbano of the Dynamo TV team. You won't be disappointed.
Spell the last name, please.
Burbano. And remember, soccer matters. All right, we'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.